Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual. And the good comes courtesy of an Army Delta Force raid against a target in Libya, specifically a guy with the name of Nazi Abdul Hamed al-Rukai, also known as Abu Anas al-Libi. And John Kerry will get to say that name again in a moment. He's a key figure associated with the 1998 East Africa bombings of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. He is now in custody, which is interesting that they didn't just use a drone to take him out. But here's Kerry announcing the legitimacy of this over the weekend. He was in Indonesia at the time.
With respect to Abu Anas al-Libi, he is a key al-Qaeda figure. And he is a legal and an appropriate target for the U.S. military under the authorization of the use of military force passed in September of 2001.
Jim, it's got to be a weird feeling, but kind of a good feeling that John Kerry actually said something you probably agree with.
Yeah, no, it happens every now and then. Politics stops at the water's end, and getting al-Qaeda-affiliated folks is a thankfully bipartisan interest. A couple ways this is really good. One is that it's really kind of, even though there was simultaneously another attack by the U.S. Navy SEALs in Somalia, this is going after what we believe was the militant, the terrorist who was in charge of that shopping mall terror attack. At this point, it's not clear whether they got the guy. Apparently, there was a lot of return fire. They know they killed a bunch of bad guys. They just don't know if the head bad guy is in there. Anytime the U.S. goes out and whacks evil men who do evil deeds, this is a good news. In the case of Libya, what's really particularly satisfying is that, as you said, they captured him, which means that he is currently being interrogated right now. You know, the first question is going to be on what he knows of any attacks that are in the pipeline or anything coming up. But then afterwards, they'll go back to his crimes back in the late 90s. The other good news is that this occurred in Libya, where it appeared that, you know, more over time, it was becoming less and less stable and less sense of any type of, you know, coherent central government able to enforce the law and protect Americans over there, particularly after Benghazi. Now, if we can get this guy, it would be really fantastic to see them get the Benghazi perpetrators, wouldn't it, Greg?
Yes, it would, especially since they're not even hiding.
I'm saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek because capturing this, you know, one of our guys who was on our 25 Most Wanted, a $5 million bounty on him, he's not a baby step. This is a major accomplishment. Just there are other crimes against Americans that need to be avenged, and it'd be good to see some movement on that direction as well.
Maybe this will be the beginning of that, and it'll be interesting to see what type of intel this guy's willing to cough up, if any. So that's one of the upsides of having him in custody. All right, on to martini number two now, and back to the government shutdown fight in a way, because, of course, Obamacare is at the center of the conservative effort to roll that back a little bit in exchange for funding the government, and John Boehner seems to suggest that'll be part of the debt ceiling negotiation as well. But Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, was on with Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday, and, well, he was trying to point out just how many folks have gone online to check out the exchange, and Chris Wallace was more interested in how many have actually enrolled. They didn't really seem to be able to get on the same page here.
7 million people rushed to go onto the webpage to find out what are their choices in this new marketplace to buy affordable
health care.
How many
actually signed up, sir?
You know, they have 6 months to sign up. This is a big decision. We never expect.
How many signed up?
I don't have the exact number, but the question isn't how many.
Do you have any number? Because the government has refused to tell us how many.
It's the wrong question.
No, it isn't. In the end,
the right question.
I can look, and I may have no interest. Yeah. And in fact, I'm not going to need Obamacare.
We know,
the question is,
Chris,
how many people have actually signed up?
We know that people take time to make important decisions like this. They go on, they compare their options. The fact that so many millions of people rushed to get information is a very good sign.
So there you go, Jim. That's the bad martinis. Clearly, the administration's going to focus on an ever-changing number of folks who have logged in. And in the first week, there's a lot of folks in the conservative blogosphere who are adding to that number, have no intention of buying this. So for them to be trotting that number out and sticking with it is kind of frustrating.
I could see some folks wondering why this is the bad martini. And then, oh, isn't it a good martini that, you know, they have no idea what they're doing and they have no idea how popular it is and all that stuff. We can reasonably assume that if this was a good number, first of all, they would have to have us believe that they set up this system with absolutely no way of figuring out how many people are signing up for insurance when the whole point of the program is to sign people up for insurance. a rather implausible level of excuse. So, oh, so that data, it's hidden in some file somewhere. We need Chloe from 24 to crack the code that's protecting it or something, you know. That explanation, because they're not providing that number, we can strongly suspect that it is lower than they would like it to be. And in fact, it could be very low. There was David Martosko over in the Daily Mail was calculating that 1% of the people who visit the site are purchasing insurance. And he kind of did some back of the envelope math, making a bunch of assumptions. We don't know if it's quite that low. However, there was that, was it the Connecticut lawmaker who said that they had like 130 people sign up on the first day, and that was out of like tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of uninsured in his state?
I don't remember the number there. I just know that one calculation was that it was about 0.6% of the people who actually went on the exchange site.
And so you have a circumstance in which they're good, you know, but we know there's a bad number there, and they don't want to tell us the bad number. So they're going to continue hiding the bad number and emphasizing the good number. Like, well, we had 7 million people hit in our first day, which is like 6 hours of the Drudge Report. You know, that's not, and by the way, you know, hitting the site, I mean, you and I visited, lots and lots of people visited out of curiosity. They may or may not be interested in purchasing insurance, and even if they are interested, a lot of people are having all kinds of, you know, terrible problems with tech support. So the bad martini, or the badness of this martini, is the administration is going to offer this kind of BS-y excuse that, oh, we just can't collect that data, which doesn't make any sense and is extremely implausible. And the media is with, you know, probably about half and half in terms of how much they're accepting that excuse.
Hmm. All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And for those who are longtime listeners to the Three Martini Lunch, you know that back prior to the midterms of 2010, Alan Grayson was frequently in the bad and crazy portion of our martinis. Fortunately, he was soundly defeated in his bid for reelection that year. But due to redistricting, he was back in 2012. And not only is he back now in Congress, he's in a pretty safe district, which only frustrates a lot of people. But he's been relatively quiet on the bombastic front, but he just couldn't contain himself any longer. He was on Bill Maher's HBO show on Friday. And just to set the panel, it was him, Bill Maher, of course, Carl Reiner, a girl from MSNBC.com, and Matt Kibbe. So you can tell it was clearly balanced. They were talking about
Kibbe can hold his own. That is, you know.
That's actually, intellectually, it probably is a fair fight. But yeah. Then they were talking about, you know, what's wrong with the Republican Party. The lady from MSNBC.com had some thoughts, and then Alan Grayson and Bill Maher just took it way over the cliff.
I think there's really three Republican parties. There's the corporate shills. There are the religious fanatics, and then there are the freedom fiends, the ones who want to make sure that you have the right to sleep under a bridge.
So, Jesus freaks, gun nuts, generic obese suburbanites, and let me add the super rich. That's the Republican Party, isn't it?
Jim, if you take away Christians and people who love freedom and people who believe in the Second Amendment, that pretty much takes away most of the people who came to found this country in the first place.
There's nothing unbelievably surprising about this clip, Greg. But on the other hand, I hope you're pleased, Florida. You know, sorry, I just instantly wanted to say, way to go, Nevada, way to go, after Harry Reid's infamous utterances. A little while back, I talked to Jorge Bonilla, who is the one of the Republicans running against him, a Navy veteran and you know, conservative writer and activist. And I just, you know, well, yeah, look at this and say, even if you're a liberal, do you really feel like Alan Grayson, a congressman, is doing the best case to make the case for the ideas and the policies you support? Or is it just sneering? You know, is it just, you know, I hate all of you? Because really, you know, do you want to label the Christians of this country Jesus freaks? Do you want to label, you know, obese suburbanites? What, I'm pretty sure Grayson has a suburban district in Orlando. You know, he's just a hateful, hateful guy. And you kind of want, like, he's a Daily Coast commenter. And I'm not really sure that necessarily belongs in Congress. Does it really, you know, help our anything? Does it help our system of government? Does it help solve problems? Any of that stuff to go on a show like Mars and just sneer at how much you hate people who disagree with you. You can do better, Florida. Come on. Yeah. You know, rethink that decision in 2014.
I don't know. Maybe he'll be the new Cynthia McKinney. You give her a second chance, and then you realize, oh, yeah, they're just as crazy as we thought they were. And then you boot him out again
exactly.
A couple years later.
You know, so. Why would you think he'd be any different?
Well, a slightly new constituency had to learn that lesson, and hopefully they will. But
keep in mind also, Alan Grayson has yet to be elected without an Obama wave behind him. We will see how things look out. Look, it's not a extremely heavily Democratic district, but it's not exactly an easy one for Republicans either. That's one of the reasons I think Bonilla was an interesting choice. We'll see how it shakes out. But I mean, really, you know, Florida, you can't be proud of this. You cannot possibly be proud of this. You know, demand better, Florida.
Welcome back to the Three Martini Lunch, Alan Grayson. I'm sure it won't be your last time. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch. Have a great day, everyone.